David Fleming, welcome to the Lehigh Valley Love Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this crazy story with you.
Yeah, I was just saying before we started recording how this is, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania, this is one of those stories that, you know, you kind of hear. It's like folklore-ish. For people, to bring people up to speed who are not familiar at all, how does the NFL wind up in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, of all places, in 1925?
Well, first of all, my gosh, I mean, Pennsylvania, if you're a football fan of Pennsylvania, you should know this story. You should be a part of this fight. But I'm happy to bring people up to speed, maybe the next generation of football fans up to speed. But in the 1920s, there was a thing, there was a league called the Anthracite Football League. And a lot of people considered it tougher, better, more talented than the actual National Football League. And the team from Pottsville, which had this incredible mix of Pennsylvania all-star college players and people that they had pulled directly out of the coal mines. So they have this great mix of like talent and strategy and then just brutal strength.
Right.
They dominated the Anthracite Coal League. And by 1925, they were looking for, they needed competition. And back then, the NFL was such a hot mess. If you had the $500 entry fee and the NFL agreed, you could get in. And that's what happened. Pottsville, their rookie season, 1925. Yep.
Their rookie season. Talk about that team. It sounds like such like a folklore story. They're pulling these guys out. They're cracking coal down there and like, go, you know, play football. What was so special about that team, I guess, in general?
Well, they really helped. They helped legitimize the NFL, but they also established a few things that had never been done before in the NFL. The NFL was basically a barnstorming league at that point. But Pottsville decided to pay the players enough that they could live in Pottsville, that they could be part of the community, and that they would practice every day. So they really sort of elevated. Everybody thought college football was king, and it was in 1925, and people thought the NFL was a joke. But Pottsville really helped legitimize pro football, and they did it also. They also popularized something. We're all like, I see you have a Ducks sweatshirt on. And, you know, it's everybody sort of boosterism and sort of civic pride in sports was almost created by Pottsville, because Pottsville really took it from people thought it was okay to cheer for colleges, but not for a pro team. And Pottsville changed all that. And they brought a community that was very diverse in as far as like ethnically and religiously and geographically. They were the first NFL team and town to sort of come together under the sort of umbrella of their football team.
Like having that base, right? Like having that.
Exactly. It was like the one thing that people who had nothing in common and often didn't even speak the same language or go to the same church, they all sort of rallied around being a Maroons fan.
And then they do so well. Bring us into this 1925 season where it is stolen. Back then, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like whoever had the best record at the end of the season was the champion. So what happens? What's the controversy there in 1925?
Yeah, so, I mean, to skip over the season, and we can do that because Pottsville, in their rookie season, they come in and they dominate. And they dominate teams like the Chicago Bears, like the Green Bay Packers, the New York Giants. I mean, it's unheard of what they've done. And they were basically brought in on a lark, and nobody thought that they could even compete, this tiny little coal town. So they dominate and embarrass the entire NFL. And what happens is they get what generally happened. I think you're right. At the end of the season, the two teams with the best records would often play for the quote unquote NFL championship. And so Pottsville is sort of the top in the East, and the Chicago Cardinals are the top in the quote unquote West. And Pottsville agrees to travel all the way to Chicago, and on a frozen field without their best player, In a game that in all the headlines said was for the NFL championship, Pottsville dominates the Chicago Cardinals, and basically they come back on a train to a hero's welcome because they're the NFL champions.
You're rolling into Pottsville. You just defeated the team from Chicago.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
So they come up, they think they've won the NFL championship, but then...
Yes. So, okay. Again, just like Pottsville going from the Anthracite League to the NFL for competition, they're like, well, geez, these pro teams aren't very good. Give us somebody to give us some competition. And there's an idea that they're going to, promoter is going to put together a team made up largely of the Notre Dame Four Horsemen. It's like an all-star college football team. Mm-hmm. And for context, I mean, the Notre Dame Four Horsemen at the time were considered the greatest football team of all time. Nobody could touch them. Well, Pottsville decides to take them on in Philadelphia. And again, Pottsville ends up at the last second. They beat it's unheard of. It really just turns the whole sports world upside down. They beat the Notre Dame Four Horsemen. They help legitimize the NFL. And then because they played the game in somebody else's quote unquote territory, the NFL suspends them and takes away their championship. And for now exactly 100 years, all real football fans in Pennsylvania, but especially in Pottsville, have been fighting to get this title back.
So that's never been rectified. There hasn't ever been because I know that they've done that, right? Like years later, organizations have restored championships and whatnot. Has there been any movement there or anything like that?
They've come close a few times in the 1960s and then in 2003. And in 2003, I think they came really close to the Cardinals. It was the 25 championship was awarded to the Cardinals, but out of sportsmanship, the 1925 team and their owner wouldn't accept the title because they hadn't earned it. I mean, they got absolutely obliterated by Pottsville and they were like, we're not taking this title. But the new era Cardinals took it and have claimed it. And I think in 2003, they came very close to agreeing to share the title. But the NFL is an old boys club through and through.
Right.
And the Bidwells, who own the Cardinals, they convinced the rest of the owners not even to hear Pottsville's side of the story. So
who then, because Pottsville doesn't exist anymore, right? Like who represents that?
Well, the team and the town and generations of people from Pottsville and from Schuylkill County who have sort of passed down this fight from generation to generation. And I feel like it's just getting started. I mean, if you know anybody from Pottsville or from coal country, not giving up. They are not giving up.
Is there an alternate universe where Pottsville is like a Green Bay Packers? How close was it?
Yeah, that's part of what's really sad for the people in Pottsville or in that area. They could have been, let's say they win that, they're properly awarded the title they won in 1925. I think they finished second in 1926. Yeah, they could absolutely be the Green Bay of the East. That's such a great point.
So how do you then get interested in this? You're not originally from I could be wrong, but from the East Coast or anything. Am I wrong or am I right? But how do you get interested in this story of the Pottsville Maroons?
No, you're right. I was at the 2003 NFL owners meeting when Pottsville, the town of Pottsville, was petitioning. And I just happened to see it on the agenda for what was going on. And it was like one sentence. And that was 20 years ago. And we're still... Yeah.
Is that so neat just from that? You're just like, hey, there's something there. You know, you pull that thread and here you are.
And I mean, the other thing too is that you realize pretty quickly that this is one of the greatest injustices in NFL history and it needs to be corrected. And I mean, that's what keeps me going, I think.
Sure. And the book was released back in like 2008, but you have the 100th anniversary edition. What's different in the 100th anniversary edition from the...
Well, we put out a new cover, and I've updated the book as well as sort of the epilogue and all of that about the fight and about the battle to get the title back. But I love the cover. The cover is a 100th anniversary edition, but we've also just gone ahead on the cover, and there's a sort of it looks like a Lombardi trophy, and it just says 1925 champions. We've given the Pottsville Maroons the trophy that they've earned 100 years ago.
You know, I'm sure as a writer, your thoughts on AI have to be conflicted at best, but this is somewhere with AI, you know, we could make a Pottsville Maroons, like recreate the whole thing. Or that'd be a lot of fun. It's just interesting to think about the history that way.
Anything that, anything that gets the title back to Pottsville.
Right. All for it. We're the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Obviously Pottsville is just a little bit outside of it. However, there were players from the Lehigh Valley, Lafayette College, specifically Jack Ernst, and you mentioned another one. Can you talk a little bit about their impact on the team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what makes it that makes it really localized for you and your audience. It's their two of the best players on offense were Jack Ernst, who was a quarterback at Lafayette, and then Charlie Berry, who – first of all, Jack Ernst and sort of the Maroons, again, elevated the passing game in the NFL when nobody was passing the ball. And Jack Ernst was like this swashbuckling sort of leading man. He was like the perfect modern day NFL quarterback. And his receiver was Charlie Berry, who went on to become a famous professional baseball player and umpire and referee. Both those guys, I'm sure, are in the Lafayette Hall of Fame. And and they used to – Charlie Berry, they were so good that Jack Ernst, at the end of Lafayette games, would pass the ball to Charlie Berry. Charlie Berry would score a touchdown. And then as time ran out, he would run the ball down to the bar on campus and then trade it for free drinks for all of the football teams. So, I mean,
I love these stories, and it's like, there's no modern day equivalent to this stuff. It's like, it just wouldn't happen. There's just no way to happen.
No, it's great.
It made me think, here's some lore that I knew from Lafayette College. You know that it was the guy who made the huddle is from there. Herbert McCracken coached at Lafayette Pro in the 1920s, and he invented the football huddle. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I mean, I'm with you. It's like, this is, it feels like if you enjoy the game today, you should know the history, especially a team so close to where you guys are at.
And oh yeah.
A team that's meant so much to the NFL. Yeah. I feel like the more people that learn this story, the more people who will join in on the fight.
Absolutely. This stuff is, I mean, I can talk about this stuff all day. It's so,
me too.
It's fascinating. It's so fun. And it's so neat. Like, I live near Liberty High School. So it's just fun to think about all the players that have just come through there that have been in the NFL and all over the place. And it's just a testament to high school football in Pennsylvania. There's so much talent all over the place. It's
really fun. You'll like this too. And the last time I was in Pottsville, the high school football coach there showed me, they have a picture of the Maroons above the doorway, and the team, the high school, the Pottsville high school, their team taps a picture of the Maroons as they head out to play their home games. So it's all connected.
Yeah, it's great, man. I would love for it to come to fruition one day. And it would be great if you're a part of it just from that, you know, that seeing it on the agenda that one day. It's just such a neat way to become a part of the story. So,
oh, someday I'm going to be the head of a parade in Pottsville, and it'll be the Lombardi Trophy will be in that car with me. Yep.
Hey, right. Stranger things have happened. This is silly, but they just put up the RoboCop statue in Detroit. And it was something that was like crowdfunded, and it took literally for like over a decade. People were like, it's never going to happen. But there were a couple people that just kept grinding, and it eventually, you know.
And I think that, you know? And that's the way this is going to happen. I think when the NFL realizes that Pottsville's not giving up, it's been 100 years, the fight is stronger than ever. And I think
it's good marketing too, or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I think
it's a good story.
Yeah, I think it should be brought back. I think the Eagles should wear like a throwback Maroons jersey. It could all be, it could be a positive. They could turn a really ugly story into a great positive thing.
I agree. It'd be a lot of fun. And I mean, wow, if you're living in Pottsville and this happens, you know, I can see like the movie, they should be making that too. So
yes. Well, yes, indeed.
David, is there anything coming up? Obviously look for Breaker Boys wherever you purchase books, the 100th anniversary edition in particular. You said there might be some signed copies floating around the town of Pottsville.
Yeah, there are signed copies at Pressed Coffee and Books in Pottsville and at the Historical Society in Pottsville. The best place to get the 100th anniversary edition, which is a limited edition cover, is on Amazon. And or you can reach out to me. My author website is phlegmphile.com. So pretty easy to get in touch.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much. Like I said, I could go on and on about this. It's great to talk about it a little bit. And we're holding out hope that the NFL championships comes back to where it rightfully belongs in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. So thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. And I will come back one day with the trophy and we'll do a follow-up episode.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.